for a good portion of this year, I've spent time in the pulpit, either in sermons or just announcements we made or written material put out there about various things that affected local elections, other principles for national elections, what we need to do as Catholic citizens, how to give a Catholic-informed vote. Christ the King, we talked about what we're looking for in leaders and how to vote along that particular way. It's been a long time, various times during this year, pointing to these directions, talking about voting and Catholic voting. As everybody knows, we had the elections that took place this past Tuesday. And Brother, just setting aside even the presidential election and what that can mean with the HHS mandate and things like that can come down. What has been our concentration a lot is on Referendum 74, the redefining of marriage and what it could take place. We didn't mention much about it, but it was still the legalization of marijuana, other elections, local elections, people put in. If we're a voting concerned Catholic and a prayerful Catholic, the votes didn't go our way. We know that. We recognize that. It isn't the way the principle's there, but I guess what the point comes up then is what was, knowing that, seeing these things happening, what was your reaction to the votes on Tuesday? How did you react? What did it come to you, you know, with that particular point? I received many phone calls and emails from people across the country. People, even different parts of the country, have heard our sermons or knew what was going on in America. And were praying for us, for these particular things. And afterwards, and say, gee, we're sorry to hear it didn't turn out like we had hoped it would. And we'll be praying for you even more and so forth. And then, you know, I got emails and phone calls from people at various different emotional reactions. So different, at that particular point, some reacted in anger. Some reacted in disgust. Some reacted with fear. Because what we know will take, you know, what promised to take place, if certain things happen, let's say, for Referendum 74. Now, marriage is now legalized there, and there's a whole passel of laws that are going to come into effect. They haven't fully been written yet, but they're in there, and they will come out next year. They're going to change the whole face of everything that's going on for religious regarding homosexuality and gay marriage in particular. So anyway, you know, there's a certain fear that comes with that. There are a number of people that had no reaction at all. Period. Can you believe that? People have absolutely no reaction. You know, we've been praying since October for the guidance and grace on the elections that are there and the defeat of Referendum 74. As a parish, I asked it to do that. I know publicly that was part of our intentions all through October, right up to the day of the elections. And I know there are many people here who carried through those intentions in their family rosaries. I also know there are many that didn't. They just set aside. Rosary wasn't that important. These intentions weren't important. They have no reaction to this part of the. And I'm really sorry for them. Really sorry for people on that particular point who don't see the moral obligation there was in voting, the moral obligation we have as a good citizen of our country to vote as an informed Catholic. I am truly sorry for you that you don't see that. You're so wrapped up in things of the world and things like that and little things here that what would my vote count? We answered that question earlier on. The votes, that, those things have been answered for a long time, but apparently the answer wasn't enough for a number of people. And so no reaction. Didn't seem to care. The speculations are rampant on why things happened the way they did. But there's one other reaction that I got from very few people, was to thank God after the election was all done. After it was announced that this person was in this office and this particular ballot measure went this direction and so forth, how many? Thank God. I mean, just didn't turn on the television or the radio and wanted to get all angry and disgusted and fearful, whatever. But didn't thank God. Why thank God, Father? You know, because these things didn't go the way we wanted them to. Why should we thank God? Because God manifested His will. That's why we thank God. I was trying to get people in the parish to pray for God's will to be done. And it was done. God's will was done in this election. And if you haven't figured that part out by now, you don't understand the providence and the will and the work of God. God, He has directly commands things to be done, as He does the universe and the sky, and things of that particular nature, where He has a permissive will, where He allows things to take place. He can directly command good for people that deserve it, or things that can be seemingly evil for them, again, because they deserve it. That's the will of God. And if we're not here to recognize that, to see this as God working in all of these particular things, He has shown forth His will, then what we read in today's epistle is just a bunch of words. St. Paul wrote to Colossians, and this is supposed to be a principle that guides the Christian heart at every time. Be ye thankful for everything that takes place. Be ye thankful. Not get caught up in talk radio, not start gossiping to neighbors, not doing all of these things. Be ye thankful. And help people all around us to understand why we should be thankful at this time, even those things, these things didn't seem to go our way, even though it's recognized that an evil will come upon us at some particular point. Why would God allow evil? Why would He allow it to exist at all? Period. He's the good God, the all-holy God. That's the one we say that He is. If He's the all-good God, all-holy, all-powerful, why in heaven's name can't He take care of evil and suppress it forever and let those of us who are trying to live in good live in peace and happiness? Because that's not the way our God works. I say our God. If you think otherwise, He's your God, but not the God as He demonstrates Himself to be over and over and over again, both by teaching from the Scriptures, His work in the Old and New Testament, among the lives of people, even the best of His friends. This is how our God works. The answer to that, why evil exists, why God just doesn't take care of it once and for all, since He's all holy, all depends on the philosophy by which you run your life. It really does. All comes to that, your philosophy. But Father, I'm not a philosopher. And all these things. Yeah, but how many people have you gone to college and been subjected to every kind of philosophy that's out there? How many of you listen to programs, read books and things like that, think you're innocently getting involved in Hindu and Taoism and things of that nature? There's a philosophy there. It's not a Catholic philosophy. The Catholic philosophy of life is given to us according to what St. Thomas had taught. It's called Thomistic philosophy. And how many people have gone through college and universities the past 60, 80, 100 years or more? You're getting imbibed with the wrong philosophy. Skepticism, fatalistic, anti-God, hedonistic. Other parts of it right now, what's come up since the 60s is, don't worry. Well, your opinion's okay for you and my opinion's okay for me. Laissez-faire philosophy. Go ahead and exist. This is why so many people voted for Referendum 74. Even Catholics voted for 74. And Spokane County was one of the highest ones who voted for Referendum 74 in our state. To change marriage and all those particular things. Why? Because it's only fair. It's only fair that they be allowed to marry. There's no fairness in something that's unnatural and sinful and wrong. But if you're imbibed the wrong philosophy toward life, that's how you're going to think. And that's how you're going to vote. And that's how you're going to affect your entire way of life. Our philosophy has to be based upon religion, not just any old religion, but the true religion. That which we know by reason and that which God has revealed to us. To have faith in this God, trust in Him, and a love for Him above all things. In the Old Testament, certainly we can see in reading the Old Testament, just what is recorded, we see that much evil afflicted the good people of God, His chosen people. These were people whom God had separated from all the other nations of the earth, the Hebrews, the Jewish people, descendants of Abraham, descendants from Noah, and then come back to Adam. Among these people, to keep alive, their whole purpose for existence, keep alive one thing, well, two things, keep alive the worship of the true God, and secondly, the promise of the Redeemer to come. If they strayed from that in any particular, got involved in selfishness, mixed in with the Gentiles, brought in pagan things in their way, they were corrupted. God had made a promise to them, a contract with them. I will be your God if you will be my people. If you are not going to be my people, I will not be your God. I'm still going to be God. You're not going to change that. But you're going to see me in a way that I will not protect you in battle. You're going to have evil overcome you. You'll have evil kings to rule over you. There were innocent people there among the chosen people who had to live under that evil, and live they did. But so many people there had fallen into sins, temptation, the ways the pagans around them, that great numbers of them carried away to Babylon, like I said, ruled by pagan kings, all kinds of things going on, taking place, the temple defiled, idols put up in the people offering, good people supposed to be, Hebrews, Jewish people offering incense to the idols because if they don't, they're going to die. Where are they? Is there evil? Yes, but they just kind of succumbed to evil. The prophets warned them why these punishments were coming from God. And he pointed, you got bad leaders because it's you. You deserve the leaders you get. Jeremiah, Amos, Daniel, I mean, there's so many of the prophets all warned about that. That would take place. And it did take place. And they said, don't be surprised it took place because we've been telling you. Change your life, you'll change the whole circumstance. Don't change your life, this is what happens. New Testament's pretty much the same thing. Persecutions, trials, difficulties go on. Not necessarily because of the fault and failure of the church, of the people. For 300 years in the early church, they lived under persecution. 10 million people went to death, St. Alphonso Liguori writes in his book on the glories of the martyrs. 10 million early Christians went to death in profession of their faith. These emperors, these pagans, were trying to wipe out Christianity. It didn't work. Of all that evil, people not only lived under it, but they obeyed the king, as St. Paul says. Obey the king. They still did what they needed to do as good citizens, even though there was so much evil around them, attacking their faith. As time went on over the points of Christianity, right up into our own time, we lived under sinful kings. Come to my classes, we talked about that in the CCD classes. Lived under sinful rulers, but through it all, God gives grace. And those who love God, despite the evils around them, didn't just sit back and complain, oh, woe, or get angry, get disgusted, get fearful, do nothing, but they prayed, and they lived their lives as they should. Despite the evil around them, despite what happened around them, they lived their life as they should. Oftentimes, I've talked to you about different things that brought up for the Sunday Epistle and Gospel. And I've remarked about how the providence, the loving care of God for us, as the Catechism teaches about providence, that God in his providence seems at times to arrange certain Epistle and Gospel for a Sunday around either a special feast or something else that we're discussing at the time. It all ties right in, beautifully and wonderfully. I see that today in today's Gospel. I mean, think about this. This is a parable that is there to teach people about living among evil all the way to the end, having patience and being among evil people and knowing that in the end, God will see our cries, God will hear our cries and see our tears, and in the end we'll be judged worthy of eternal life if we stand strong in the midst of it. Here's a man. Has a field. He has wheat. He sows it into the ground, as he ordinarily does, both for himself and his family, and probably also to sell it for income. He completes the whole job, is satisfied greatly with what he has done, goes home. And at that particular point, all he's going to wait is for the providence of God, for rain, sunshine, and all that, because there's nothing else he can do. But at that particular point, not long after that, another person comes in and sows not wheat, but weeds. The translation I read today for the Gospel calls it cockle. In Latin for the Gospel today, it's called zizania. Zizania is one of those evil type of weeds that are just going to hang on like dandelions. They just don't go away. And so here's somebody out there sowing these weeds out there. And you can't tell in the beginning. You don't know that there's evil mixed in there with the good until they start to grow up. And as the weed starts to bud forth, we live in a wheat country, you know what it looks like. When the shafts of wheat have their kernels on top, they're budding forth. Not quite ready for harvest, but they're growing. You can tell they're alive. In this particular parable, the Lord says that same weeds that were sown by the enemy also comes up at the same time, growing right next to the good weed. sucking off the nutrients from it. The workers in the field see it. They know. You know, occasional weeds are going to come up. Birds are going to carry it. The wind is going to bring things, whatever. They know that. But to have the entire field filled with weeds, when the master says an enemy has done it, that's the only way to explain such a widespread of weeds among the wheat. The workers, God bless them, they want to do what's seemingly the impossible. To go through the entire patch of land, however big it was, and go inch by inch and pick out the weeds, but not the wheat. Step in there, find a wheat, and pull it out. And make sure when pulling it out, you didn't pull the weed out, the wheat rather, from the ground. And they're going to go through that. And the master said, you know, I probably thank them for the idea, but it's not going to work. First of all, if you try to uproot the weeds, you're going to get the wheat too. Secondly, you're going to trample on the good in trying to get rid of the evil. So he says, just let it all grow up together. We'll take care of it at harvest time. Wow. Somehow, some way, it seems that this master might have had the power, the ability, the willingness on part of his workers to get rid of those weeds, but he wouldn't do it. We're told at the beginning of the gospel for today that this is a parable to teach us about the kingdom of heaven, how God's kingdom works, as he taught this. So when we see the good master letting the weeds and the wheat grow up together, this is how our good God works. This is God's philosophy. Sin came into the world because of original sin. Sin has stayed in the world because of our personal sins. And the devil and temptation and all those particular things. God, he's God. He could get rid of it, but he doesn't. And the reason he doesn't is because the evil is there to challenge the good. So that the good will become better. By not yielding to it, not let their nutrients, if you will, be sucked away. Not letting themselves become weeds in themselves, drying up, shilling away, so the harvest time, gosh, what used to be wheat looks like weeds, and so we'll get rid of that. Our God is allowing evil to coexist with good in the world, and in the end, he will take care of it. The trouble is, this parable points to the wheat as being the elect of God. I've explained who the elect are from time to time in the pulpit, just quickly to go through it again. The elect of those are ones who guaranteed will be in heaven at the end of time. Guaranteed. And yet they are going to be so tried by evil around them, by the weeds around them in their lives, by people and circumstances. But they're the elect, and they will not yield. There are some out there, I'm sure, among that wheat who are not among the elect, who let the weeds suck away at their nutrients, saying, I can't help it. These weeds are right next to me, all around me. There's nothing I can do. If I have somebody here, a man or a woman, who wants me to say and do these evil things, go to these evil places, watch these movies, do all this stuff on the internet, blog about people, do scandalous things and all that particular point, I can't help it. I can just go to confession later on. That's fine. That's okay for me to do. No, it's not. If you're the wheat, you stand up for God. You will not let the evil suck you down. We have too many people that are willing to do that. Like in the Old Testament, the New Testament, they call themselves the chosen people of God. Catholics, traditional Catholics. And who will fail, and fail miserably. By going to confession, and everything's okay. No, it's not. You betrayed God. You're not acting among the elect, and if you don't live as one of the elect, guaranteed you will not be. By the end of time, and your time, Godless, the wheat, the people around will have sucked the very Christian life out of you. You'll fall into sin and not care about it anymore. And in the end, when it comes to judgment, you're going to look just like a weed, and not the wheat. But they don't care. So many people don't care. Look what happens at this harvest time. God tells us what he is going to do. growing up, as we do in society with evil amongst us, election is just one manifestation of these particular things. Manifestation of God's will. He doesn't, and as he's promised, and he's told the saints, he's revealed it to us in so many different ways, that even if we have to live among those who are evil, who tempt us, don't blame it on God if we fall into sin. It's our own fault. Because he gives equal and more graces to all of us when we are going through trials and difficulties so we can remain strong. The reason why we don't remain strong is because we don't pray. We give in to bad habits. We don't care. We associate with bad companions. We fall into sin and don't care about it. Oh, but I can just go to confession. Everything's fine. With no purpose of amendment, no desire to change, no one to show that I am a weed who's going to stand strong against the evil. Stand strong at this particular point. There are so few amongst us who is willing to stand strong. And look what will happen in the end. Some people just get discouraged by all the evil around them. I just can't do it anymore, Father. It's just all this evil. I'm just can't help it. Yes, you can. Pray. The grace of God is there. God always gives every help to help us through. We're all growing up in the same evils. How come some can make it through and others can't? It's because of their effort of the will, the desire to remain strong. That's what makes a difference. And so, at the end, the evil people are the ones who are judged first. That's what it says in the parable. The harvest is done. The wheat and the weed are all lying on the ground. They're gathered together, and they separate the weeds from the wheat. The weeds, are judged first, gathered together and burned. So that means the good, the elect, for all the trials they have gone through, all that they have endured, the patience they've been asked to have by God, pays off in the end. They can see that God is still the all-holy God. He allowed evil there for them to grow in merit on this earth, to be recipients of his prayers and graces to keep strong and to give good example to others around them. And in the end, they watch the justice of God being measured upon those who in this earth multiplied evil, multiplies greater. We know, we're told enough in the Gospels that our pathway to heaven is narrow. But that of destruction, it's broad. People are happy, they're following that particular way. In this particular field, maybe the weeds look prettier than the wheat. But in the end, they get judged for what they are. Sinful, wrong. Going against the ways of God. Things that if they've given in to the enemy and care very little about it, they're judged right away. The elect can watch this. And they are the ones who become the recipients of seeing God is just. And they praise the justice of God. And God thanks them and raises them to heaven because of their patience in this life. Yeah, there's evil that's come because of the elections this time. There's evil around us all the time. The elections is manifested where people are, where it's a society, where we are now, compared to even 4, 12, 15, 20 years ago. Where we are right now. How far we have fallen away. The philosophy of people. How far it has turned from God into themselves, into evil. That's what was manifested in this election. Making it impossible for future elections? No. It just means that more of us are going to have to pray and change our lives. It means that because we live among the weeds, we don't become one of them. We don't associate with people. We don't go to places. We don't get on the internet. We don't yield to the temptations of others around us. No matter how much pressure they put upon us, we don't yield. We stand strong because we are the wheat, the elect of God. That is what we do. We can be stronger than any weed among us if we pray and love God above all things. To be among the elect, among other things, to be baptized, but have a love of God in my heart and a desire to keep sanctifying grace in my soul. Those are just some of the qualities of those who are among the elect. If they're not in your soul right now, you better start thinking what it's going to be like in the end. At the harvest comes, at the judgment, final judgment, will you be with the elect watching the judgment of sinners taking place, or will you be among the weeds being judged yourself and watching the good watching you? That's the reality. This is what's taking place. We do not have to be among the weeds. We're here among the wheat, and we can live that way, following God's grace. From this point on, if we don't learn that lesson, if we haven't thanked God for the manifestation of His will, what we have seen just a few days ago, then our thoughts are not toward God, our thoughts to ourselves. Change. Even if we're among the weeds, stay strong. God will bless us in the end and give us all the strength that we need to follow Him in every way. Be proud to be among the elect of God. Be prayerful and sad for those who are not. That's our philosophy, not the philosophy of the world. And if you imbue that false philosophy because of the education you've received, I question your education and your desire to go to that education and still remain Catholic. Anyway, whole different sermon. Stay strong while we look among the weeds. We can be stronger than them. And God will prove that if we pray and follow His directions. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.